Let's grab our Bibles and stand up, or your phones, your iPads, whatever you have the word in. It's just nice to hold it. If you have the translation, I want you to turn to Luke 4:18. Whatever translation you have, Luke 4:18. It's going to be on the screen in the Amplified. We're going to read it together in the Amplified. But if you want to kind of look at yours and see, just there's, like I said, different translations have different things. I enjoy the King James and the Amplified. So in the parenthetical in the Amplified, you'll see those aren't my words. Those are right. The interpretations of the words are right there. I want you to say this with me, everyone together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Matthew 18:11. Matthew 18, everyone together. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. John 20:21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace to you, just as the Father has sent me forth, so I am now sending you. Amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus, the anointed one, came to do what? Preach the good news. Preach the good news, which is the gospel. Who did he come to preach it to? Come on. Everybody. And he said specifically the poor. The poor in the Greek means those who are in lack, who are lacking. If you don't have Jesus, you're lacking. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Because Jesus says, I will supply all your needs. If you don't have Jesus, you're trying to fill all your needs for yourself. So he came not for the financially poor. He came for anybody in lack. And he has sent me to release captives and recover, to heal sight to the blind, send forth those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed. He came to take care of anything that's ailing you. And he said, and I came to save, my purpose to save that which is lost. And then in John 20, he says, now I have to go, and now it's your turn. You have to do save that which is lost. 1 John 2:27, it's on the screen, the King James. It says, but this anointing, Jesus, the anointed one, which you have received of him, it's of him. When you accept Jesus in your heart, the same anointing in Luke 4:18 is now upon you. This anointing, which you received from him, you don't need now any other man teach you. What does that mean? I don't have to listen to preaching anymore? Oh, I don't have to go to church. I can sleep in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that verse, Pastor. No, what that means is you have no other need for any other book to instruct you on what you need to do. So we got to read the original intent, and what is that saying? That anointing, when the anointing comes upon you and you understand your purpose and the will that you're supposed to accomplish, I don't need any other instruction from anything other than this right here that tells me what I'm supposed to do. This is the anointing coming in me, and the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and that's all I need. So we don't need any other book to tell us. We don't need any other instruction from any other teacher that says, well, no. You got to pursue yourself. You just got to be happy. You just got to find your inner self. It's, no, you don't. But at the same, this same anointing teaches you of all things. What are things? Truth, God's word, promises of God's word. This anointing comes on you and it teaches you, instructs you in all things. What? God's word. So why do I know I don't have any need for other man teaches me any other thing? Because everything in here, this is truth, this is spirit, this is life. I don't need anything else telling me anything, because everything else is a counterfeit that's contrary to this. It's a counterfeit. It's a quick fix. But this anointing, well, God's word teaches me all things. It's truth. There's no lie in it. And it has taught you, and you shall abide in him. You shall abide in that. So God's word, or Jesus is the word. God is the word. Jesus is the word made flesh. He became, and he came inside of you. So the anointing, he is the anointed one. We just went over that the first verse in Luke. He is the anointed one. And it says the anointed one came inside of you. Y'all following me? I accept Jesus Christ in my heart. So the anointing to save that which is lost is in you. The anointing to save whom who is lost is now inside of you. The anointing is alive in every born-again believer. Whether you want to do it or not or shut it off, that's up to you. But it's in you. You are programmed to go save who is lost, but something happens along the way. Something happens. See, we need to be led by the Spirit, and God's anointing gives us the grace to do the things in God's word that we're called to do. He doesn't give us an anointing to do anything contrary to God's word. There is no, see, there's the anointing that we just talked about in Luke 14. The anointing is to go save that which is lost. Then there's an anointing on you to go where God has called you to go. An anointing, the anointing. The anointing, save us lost. So wherever you go, you have the anointing on you that you're supposed to be doing. To Tuesday night, then I went to the couples Bible study, then I went to Wednesday night. I was so on fire for the Lord, I just did everything. But then kids came, and then I'm just too tired, I can't do anything. Really? What? I have kids. Where in here does it say I can't do anything? I have to leave my anointing because I had children. Where does it say that? See, what happened is the same thing that happens to all of us. We use something that's not out of the normal flow as an excuse not to do the anointing. Don't let your children stop you from doing the anointing. Well, they have sports, they have schedules, they have things, and they gotta be fed. And my kids gotta be at 7, I gotta be by 8, I gotta. And this one, he's like, oh my God, and he doesn't like Cheerios, and it was like, oh, I just don't have time to walk in the anointing today. I can't even tell people about Christ because my kids are so terrible. Now, for those of you who are laughing because you don't have children, God, I can't follow you because I don't have kids. Kids keep me grounded. See, if I had kids, then I would be going to church, and that would make me go to church. But now, because, you know what happens when, you know what's interesting? When kids grow up and out of the house. Isn't it interesting? Kids grow up, and they're 24 or 25, and all of a sudden, you know what it's easy to do? Is we don't have a reason to go to church anymore because I don't have to be a good example for anybody. So I get away from the anointing. See, you understand, we have reasons and excuses why we get away from God's plan or his anointing. We got to stop using the excuses and get back onto what he's telling us to do. Let God figure out all that stuff. I just got to do what I'm supposed to do. So wherever you're at right now, submit to him and his will for you. Say, God, help me raise these children the way you would want them to. Help me put the first things first. Guess what? The kingdom of God is first. I love sports. I loved it. I played all the time. But there's a certain point where my dad goes, whew, kingdom first, sports, later on down the line. My dad was a stud. My dad was a sports guy. He loved it too. But he understood something. If I don't put the kingdom of God first, when I stand before God one day, I'm going to say, what did you do? I want to walk in that anointing. Your kids need to be in the same anointing. You need to train up a child in their way to go. Train up a child in the anointing that they're supposed to follow. I'm not saying it's wrong to play sports. I'm not saying it's wrong to have involvement with your family. I'm not saying it's wrong to have outside activities. It's not that you can't play golf, ride motorcycles, get together, have shopping days. I'm not what I'm saying. But when it takes precedence over doing the anointing, then it's got to go. Because I can go shop and I can go witness to people. I can go play sports and I can witness to people. I can use whatever and then I'm anointed to do to go spread the anointing. It doesn't matter what job I have as long as I'm anointed to do it. Well, God, I just want to do this. I don't want you to do that, but I have talents. I will give you talent to do this if you would just listen to me and go over here. I will anoint you to go do this. But I wanted to be a rock and roll star when I was young. How many? Bobby, come on, raise your hand. My little child is inside of Bobby every day when he gets up there. That's me. I loved it so much. Guess what? I wanted to be John Bon Jovi when I was younger. That was me. I said, God, I'm going to use this platform and I'm going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, all these stadiums and concerts. He looked at me and goes, are you nuts? I'm not going to anoint you to go do that. That's your plan. I have a better plan for you. The plans he has for us are so much better than the plans we have for ourselves. Sometimes you and I are going to miss God's perfect plan for us. Anyone? Anyone ever miss it? Well, I missed it once, so I'm just not going to get back on the train. No, that doesn't mean that. You can still step right back into God's perfect plan for you. Well, I just don't want to go back in time. It's not about going back in time. It's about right where you're at right now. Do you know that God has a perfect plan for you right now? As soon as you say, your will be done in my life, you slide right back into God's perfect plan. There's no condemnation. What have you done, what you did yesterday, and I missed it? Doesn't matter. Now that I'm back right on track, and I'm going right after no longer the dictates of the flesh, but back into the Spirit, I'm in God's perfect plan. When you start to look back and say, oh, I blew it again, that's condemnation. Romans 8:1 is on the screen. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates and direction of the flesh anymore, but after the dictates and direction of the Spirit. And we don't have their computer screen, so I'm just going to read it to you. Trust me that I'm reading the Bible. Okay. Have you ever got down on yourself? Anybody got down on themselves? This is interactive time. You can say yes. Okay. Have you ever beat yourself up? I should have did this. I don't. I mean, I do that about food that I'm not supposed to eat, right? I wake up every single day, you know what? This is going to be a 20-carb gram day, and I'm going to do that. And then the kids bring home a pizza and go, we'll start tomorrow. I have the greatest intentions. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to will this myself. It's not about your will. It's about his will. Because my will folds. My will falters at the smallest little things, doesn't it? I'm going to do this today. I'm going to discipline myself. No, God speaks to us when we're anointed to do certain things. We're going to right through the word. It was right through the word. Matthew 11:28. If you want to turn there, I'll give you time. It's in the New Testament. It's right before Mark. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. Does that sound like anybody? I will cause you. It says, in the Greek, it says, I'm going to make you. I love that. I'm going to make you rest. I'm going to make you take a nap. I'm going to make you sit down. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke. My yoke means my plan or my anointing. The anointing that was in the same is in Jesus. It says, if I abide in him, I have the same anointing. We established that in John, Matthew, and Mark. So take my anointing, take my plan upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle, I'm meek, I'm humble, I'm lowly in heart. You will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Do you know what God's plan? I get recreation? No, I just have to do work for the kingdom. I have to tell people about Jesus all the time. No, he said, in the midst of all of that, you're going to have relief. You're going to have refreshment and recreation. Verse 30, for my yoke, my plan, my anointing is wholesome. It's useful. It's good. It's not harsh. It's not sharp or pressing. It's comfortable. It's gracious. And my burden is what I'm asking you to do. In my plan, it's light and it's easy. Well, it can't be because I don't like to do it and I feel awkward. I don't like to do that kind of stuff because you're not walking in the anointing. You're trying to do your plan and how you want to live your life, and you'll sprinkle in off. I have to tell Jesus occasionally, I will. See how difficult that is? In the midst of what I want to do on my plan, I'm going to say, okay, I think I'm supposed to talk about Jesus here real quick or do something nice. I don't know. That is why he said, if you would just turn over to my plan and my way of doing it, it would be so much easier. Man, can you imagine if you showed up to work and say, my goal here today is I'm not working for my boss, I'm working for God. So I'm not trying to please him, I'm trying to please God. So the word says I'm supposed to give my employer double as a Christian. I'm supposed to work even harder. Ooh, I don't like that one. You said that its yoke is easy, it's wholesome, its burden's light. It is. Because God will give you the power and the encouragement and the ease to do that job even better than you've ever done before. See, it's not about a paycheck, it's about where God has an anointing on you to bring the anointing. Your job is no longer about a job. God's paying you. Your employer is just stroking a check for it. God's taking care of you. Doesn't matter where you go. If God's called you there, he will provide. He will provide all your needs. See, I don't have to work my way back into the will of God. I have to walk in it. I'm not going to sit there, oh God, okay, what do I have to do to get back in your will? He goes, Grant, just start walking in my will again, and you're there. Just turn it over. I don't have to go back in time to recapture anything. From that moment, I say, your will be done in my life. I'm back on track. God is going to take care of all the logistics of what he's calling you to do. But, man, I'd like to do this, but what about my kids? Well, I'd like to do this, but what about my physical things? What about this, but I need a car ride? God will take care of the logistics of everything that he's called you to do. Pastor, that's craziness. He'll do it. He does the work. He takes care of it. All he's asking for is a willing vessel, and your will be done. All we have to do is get back onto God's plan, because God's plan, he will prosper you in where he's called you to go. You have to will yourself in your own plan. God's will is done in his plan. He gives you everything that you need. You have to activate the plan in your life. God will never position himself in you to make you look foolish, to set you up for failure. God's meant to prosper you and to take care of you when you do his work for his purpose. I know it's hard sometimes. I know it's hard. It's just hard. It's like, but God, I got so much stuff I need to take care of today. I need to do this, and I need it, and I need to focus on this. And God wants us to kind of reel us back a little bit and say, could you spend just 5 minutes with me, 10 minutes with me? Can I give you some direction today? Because that direction's for your protection. I don't want you to spin your wheels worrying about everything else when I've called you to do something totally different. Remember, nothing's ever impossible for God. Nothing is ever impossible for God. Philippians 1:1. It's on the screen in the Amplified. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I love that. The anointing on the Anointed One is the anointing. And we are the body of the same anointing. It says, to all saints, God consecrated people in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One. All the saints. Who does all mean? All. It's one of those words that describes itself, isn't it? All. What does all mean? It means all. It's all encompassing everything. So Paul and Timothy, who are bond servants, who says, I'm a slave, whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to line up with it. And now I address you under that same anointing, I address all of you who under the same anointing that Jesus has. What is the anointing that Jesus had? To go share the good news, to break free those who are in bondage, for the servants to come free, for those who had ailments, for all that. That was the anointing that Jesus had. And Paul is addressing you and I under the same anointing. Y'all see this? So we are anointed to do something. It says we are the body. Jesus is the body. It says he's the head, and it's the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? So there's a head. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. In Isaiah, it's not on the screen. Isaiah, it says, oh, I love this. Isaiah, it says, he prophesied, it says, there's going to come a Savior, and on him, the kingdom of God or the governments of our God is going to expand here on earth. A Savior is going to come. And on his shoulders is going to rest that. What is on top of the body? Let me help you. Okay. Shoulders. There's going to come a Savior, and upon his shoulders, upon the body, will the expansion of the kingdom of God be. Why? Because you're under the anointing. There's an expansion of the kingdom of God when we do what we're called to do. It's not on Jesus. He said, I go, and now I send you to go do the work. You guys see that? John 14:10. This is what Jesus said in John 14. Do you not believe I'm in the Father and that the Father's in me? What am I telling you? I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually abiding, no longer walking after the dictates of the flesh, who continually walks in me, the works, his own miracles, his deeds of power. You're not doing it, he is. Believe me, I'm in the Father, verse 11, the Father's in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least the works that I do in my Father's name, let them convince you. At least let the miracles, the things that you see in the word that I'm doing, at least let them convince you that I'm walking in an anointing. You guys see that? This is Jesus saying that. And in verse 12, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things I do. Why? Because you have the same anointing. And he will do even greater things than that because I go to the Father. He will do greater things. He will have a bigger anointing. Well, it doesn't say that. Sure it does. You're going to do greater things. That means bigger. I have a great pizza, or I have a greater pizza. That means it's bigger. It's something bigger. It's something better. Whoever has anointing, this anointing, whoever has Jesus in their heart and no longer walks after the dictates of the flesh, who's working God's plan, is going to do greater things than Jesus did. Acts 4:31. I'm going to show you something. Acts 4:31. This is John and Peter. John and Peter, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Holy Spirit already fell on the 120. They were shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with what? So an anointing fell on them. The anointing fell on them. And they were speaking the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Verse 33. With great power, he gave the apostles to witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon who? All of them. See, it came, the anointing came on all of them, all of them. All of us have it, not just the preacher, all of them has this anointing on them. Philippians 2:13, this is Paul. This is Paul writing the church. Paul writing the church. Not in your own strength, he says, for it is God who is all the while, oh, I love this, it is God who is effectually at work in you, energizing, creating in you power and desire both to will and to work for whose pleasure? Okay. Oh. I get excited. Okay. God is in you, an anointing's on you. This anointing energizes you. This anointing creates in you power and desire. What's the desire for? For yourself? No. It's this desire makes you want to will you and makes you want to work for God's good pleasure. See, there are times when you don't feel like doing something. Anybody? Like, for instance, you didn't want to raise your hand right there. So there are times when you don't want to, do something. Come on. Come on, Bobby, help me out. Okay, all right. There are times you just don't, I don't want to do it. I know it needs to be done. I don't feel like it. It happens all the time. Pastor Matt probably didn't want to run up there and try to figure out how the lights were to come back on. He don't want to do that. And the air conditioning's kicked out too. See, you feel that? So there's certain things, it's like, why do I have to deal with this? Well, this is crazy. Why have? You can't let that thing sidestep anything. You can't let that throw you off of what's going on. Don't let what is going on. There are going to be times when you come up against something and you just don't feel like doing it. You can't figure out how to get around it. And guess what? If you mumble, complain the whole time and try to do God's will, mumbly complaining, you ain't getting any credit for it. Why? Because he said, you're doing it because out of the motion, he said, the anointing gives you the will to do it. You get excited about it because, see, if you're forced to do it, you are going to dread it and you are not going to do the anointing. Then it doesn't anybody any good when you dread spreading the anointing, because I'm going to be full of cheer. It's going to be Christ in me when people see me. So I'm willing to be willing to do his will. I'm willing to be willing. God, I receive your anointing, and I want to go do your will. Come on, set it up for me, God. Your plan. Surprise me today. Well, maybe not like a lot surprise, you know, because I do have a 10 o'clock appointment, and then I have a 1 o'clock appointment, and then I'm supposed to meet my husband and give him the keys because he left his keys and he locked them in the car, and then I'm just like, and I can't, God, I just need a bubble bath. God, can you just work on my husband? Just work on my husband. See, when you stop dreading what God wants you to do, you can focus on what he's called you to do. Life is so much easier. But in Philippians 2:13, he wills and works. He does the willing and the working and manifests it in you. Now I want to take you to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 2. There's a story of an anointing on Moses. Moses was called to do something. So you and I are anointed to do something. A task, a job, or go to college, whatever. Whatever he's directing you to do and go. To spread the anointing. The anointing. An anointing to spread the anointing. So the anointing's there to reveal some things. Here's Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. One day after Moses was grown, it happened that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. He looked at their burdens. You know, you can look at people and you can see their stuff wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, hey, what's wrong? You can see by their countenance. You can come up and say, hey, what's wrong with you today? What's going on? See, Moses could actually physically see there was things going on in their lives. What was going on? They were enslaved. They were slaves. They were in bondage. Do you get the parallel? Sin, bondage, slave. Moses saw the burden. Wait, isn't God's burden light? They were slave to man and their burden. Verse 12, he looked his way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the second day, and he saw two Hebrew men quarreling and fighting, and he said to the unjust aggressor, why are you striking your comrade? And the man said, who made you prince and judge over us? Did you intend to kill me as you just killed the Egyptian? Moses was afraid and thought, surely this thing is known. So Moses did something wrong. Moses saw burdens. Moses saw something was wrong in someone's life. And Moses tried to intervene. Have you ever tried to intervene when something was wrong? Moses didn't handle it probably the best. How many of you ever intervened and just killed the person? I don't like how you're treating her. It's just done. Moses did something wrong. He saw a lot of things that were going wrong that were keeping people in bondage, and he tried in his will to fix it. Whether it's your kids, whether it's your finances, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, we see things that are wrong and we want to fix it, don't we? And instead of saying, God, how would you have me handle this? You go, I know how I'm going to handle this. I'm going to take care of this right away. Don't think Claire South doesn't think that every single day. I'm just using her as an example because I can. We all think it every single day. Bob Perry, you think it's every day. You see something wrong at work? You know what? I know how to handle this, right? You know what? These employees, fired. Now you got no one to work for you. Now what do you do? Why? Because you let your will and how you wanted your plan get in the way, and now you find yourself, well, I have no employees now. Now I gotta make the coffee. I gotta serve people. What am I gonna do? When we act on our own will, that's not God's plan. He says, what is my plan and how you should respond to this? So Moses responded wrong in something, so he bolted. And when Pharaoh heard of it, he wanted to slay Moses. But Moses took refuge, in verse 15, in the land of Midian. It's like, man, I shouldn't have gotten involved in that. And he just backed away. It's like, I'm out of here. I gotta go. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came down, drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Nice guy. And when they came to Jethro, their father, they said, hey, how is it that you've come so soon today? How'd you get back so quick? He said, well, this Egyptian guy delivered us from the shepherds who were trying to hold us from getting our water, and he drew the water for us, and he watered the flock. Well, he said to his daughters, well, where is he? Why have you left that man? Call him so he may eat bread with me. And Moses, I love this, Moses was content. Do you see that? Moses was content to dwell. Other translations said that Moses settled. Moses saw something wrong. He saw a burden of the people that he was supposed to be helping. He tried to fix it himself, and he just got so frustrated that he bolted. He went somewhere else. He goes, I'm out of here. I'm going to go run and hide. And it says, and when he got there, he was still a nice guy. You see this? He helped Jethro's seven daughters. He was still doing what was good, but he said he was content, and he settled somewhere else. He settled somewhere else. And she bore a son, and he called his name Gershom, expulsion, or stranger there. For he, Moses, said, I have been a stranger and a sojourner in a foreign land. This wasn't a complaint, but it was thankfulness of God for providing. He says, man, I'm in this strange land, and you're still providing for me. I'm away from my home where I'm supposed to be, but you've taken care of me in this land of Midian. This place where I've settled, I've come to be content with. But when you look at the name and why he called him there, he knew at some point when he looked at his son, and the name of his son means sojourner and a stranger. It means at some point they were going to go back to the land and restore that which was gone. He was just at Midian for a while. You and I, we run and hide sometimes from things, and we take a little time off. We sojourn there, and but we need to get back to where we're supposed to be at. Verse 23, however, after a long time, 40 years, he was content. 40 years, he was content with not helping. 40 years, he was content, just didn't want to get involved. Have you ever felt about not getting involved? You help people enough. I just can't keep helping. You know what? You guys infuriate me now. I'm just done helping. And you stop helping. You stop getting involved in people's lives. That's why it's so good that the verse that says, how many times must we give? Man, 70 times 7. 409 times. Because you can't start judging people. You can't start looking at one person and say, you're going to be just like them, so I don't want to get involved anymore. Because you will become content and you will settle and not get involved in anyone else's life ever again. Don't let the past dictate the future. Verse 23. After 40 years, the king of Egypt died. People forgot what Moses did. And the Israelites were sighing and groaning because of what? Bondage. They kept crying, and their own cry because of slavery ascended unto God. They were in captivity. God heard their sighing and groaning, and he remembered his covenant, his contract with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a covenant man. God is a contract man. God doesn't, not a man that he should lie. God performs his word. If he says he will do it, he will do it. You do your part, and God will do his part. So God saw the Israelites and took knowledge of them and concerned himself about them, knowing all understanding, remembering all. God took knowledge of them. He concerned himself, understanding all. Didn't Paul do the same thing? Didn't Paul say, I look at people and I understand and I try to become and think like them so I may reach them? God was understanding what they were going through. Exodus 3:1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back or the west side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, or Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Interesting, he was in the wilderness the whole time, for 40 years, content, settling. Right next to him was the mountain of God. His whole life was spent around the mountain of God, the power of God. He just was walking around it the whole time in the wilderness. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, yet was not consumed. This is the Holy Spirit trying to get a hold of him now. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great thing. The anointing that's in you and I, it wills us. It wills us to stop and say, God, what work do you want me to do? Remember Philippians 2:13? He wills us to do his work. An anointing is on you and I to do his will, for will and to work. So Moses said, I will. Moses, for 40 years, was content. He was living right next to the Mount Sinai, God's mountain, and he finally looked and said, I will now do this thing. Exodus 3:4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him. You know what God wants you and I to do? He just wants us to say, I will. Stop what you're doing in your life. Well, I already got, Pastor Grant, I got a plan. I just can't mess with my plan. Oh, God wants to mess with your plan. And the plans that God has for you are so much better than the plans you have for you. He's looking for you to say, I will. I will. And the moment you say, I will, God turned and said, called out to him in the midst of it and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Skipping down to verse 10, if you would. Exodus 3 says, come now, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people out of Egypt. Hold on, God. I just said I will. I didn't say I will to that. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but you should have told me what you wanted me to do before I said I will. Isn't that what we'd like to do? Hey, this is Pastor Matt, moved a couple weeks ago. He made a few phone calls. Hey, what are you doing on Saturday? I should have asked. Why? I'm moving. So you have nothing going on? Should have asked first. Moses, you want me to do what? I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, you know, the place where you killed the guy. But they forgot. It's a new king now. And so I'm going to send you so you may bring forth my people out of Egypt. The anointing is to set people free, isn't it? Out of bondage. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Now think about that. Moses, Bible says he stuttered, didn't speak well. He killed someone in that land. He was a prince, but now he was nobody. He had settled. And he wants him to go in front of us. And Moses is probably going, man, my life was really good for the last 40 years. I had all these sheep and animals to take care of. I was living on the way away from Egypt and Midian, and I was content and settled there to live my life the way I wanted to. It was good. We're all like that, don't you? You know why you're living the life the way you are right now? It's because it's acceptable unto you. Oh, no, I want to change. Well, then change. But you've become content, and you've settled, lest you would be changing. So Moses says, well, if you want me to do that, I can't do that. Once again, self, it's condemnation coming upon me. But God, I can't do this. You know my history. You know what I've done. You can't use me. He goes, oh, yes, I can. Well, whoever I've anointed can go do the anointing. Whoever I'm anointing. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. God said in verse 12 of chapter 3, God said, I will surely be with you, and this shall be a sign to you when you've brought the people out of Egypt. There's going to be this great mountain. Moses, I'm going to do all these miraculous things for you. I'm going to take care of you. I will do that. I will bring you forth. And skipping down to verse 19. After Moses says, oh, I can't do this. He says, Moses, I know, verse 19, the king of Egypt will not let you go unless forced to do so. No, not by a mighty hand. The enemy is not just going to roll over for you. The enemy goes around seeking who he may devour. You're called to go somewhere that the enemy doesn't want you to go. He wants your kids. He wants your family. He wants your friends. He wants you. And God says, I know, Moses, there's going to be a fight. But in verse 20, but Moses, I'm going to stretch out my hand and I'm going to smite Egypt. See, you aren't doing the work. You're just going where he's calling you to do, and God does the work. God stretches forth his mighty hand because the Father who lives continually in me, he does the works with his own deeds, power, and miracles. Now, this wasn't the whole story. Moses had several reasons why he shouldn't go, a list based upon his plan and his will. Just like you and all, every single person in this room has a plan and a will for themselves. But you have to start releasing your plan and your will to get some direction from God for his plan and his will for you. The Bible also calls this anointing a mantle. A mantle. A mantle in the Bible was an outer cloak used for additional covering or warmth. It was used throughout the scriptures as a supernatural thing, a covering to present spiritual covering. So I'm giving you this mantle as an anointing to go do something. I've covered you with my protection to go out. This is what a mantle was. It was worn. An example of the mantle was Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was a prophet in Israel, and Elisha was a student. Elijah ministered to Elijah, and he studied under him, and earnestly wanted to operate just the way he did. He saw what he did and how he acted and responded. And before Elijah went off into heaven, he said, Elijah, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken away. This is 2 Kings. You don't have to turn there. It's not on the screen. Elijah said, please give me a double portion of your anointing. Please give me a double portion of your anointing. It was Elijah's mantle which would prove whether or not that request was received. Elijah says, you've asked a hard thing, but now if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so. But Elisha did see Elijah leave in a chariot of fire. He tore his own garment, and he picked up the mantle from Elijah. There was an anointing that he wanted, that he saw. It was tangible. There's an anointing. Elijah asked for a double portion. Elijah asked, I want to go do what you did. Remember, the spirit in you, the anointing in you, you can do greater things than Jesus did. He said so. That's what Jesus' words are. Elijah asked to do greater things than Elijah did. He asked for a double portion. The word says that after God dismantled Moses, you get that? He got rid of Moses' plan of being content, of settling for 40 years. As soon as Moses said, I will, God spoke into him and started giving him a plan. As soon as you dismantle your plan, God's got a plan for you. Could it be right where you're at? Sure. The same people you've been sitting next to for 30 years? Sure. Could he move you? Oh, yeah. You saw how many people had different jobs? Maybe he's done with where you're at. He goes, you've done all I've asked you to do. I'm going to anoint you to go over here now to do the anointing. Get ready to move when you say, God, your plan be done in my life. Get ready to move. Several years ago, it was 10 years ago this December, my father passed away. He was a pastor. He was buried December 22nd. It was my first funeral I did. And it was tough, emotional, but it was a great time as well, just celebrating his life and what he had done. Not in his own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was an anointing on his life. As we sat, we did the funeral, and we went to the gravesite, and it was about 10 degrees outside, so we all stayed inside this little building. And his sisters that remained, and my family, there's about 15 of us, we were all kind of huddled around. And I just asked for remembrances of my dad. And my mom said, this is what I'd like to say. She goes, I'm going to ask that Grant, that the anointing that was on Jack, my husband, you get a double portion. What that meant is I had to dismantle my plans. At age 29, spending 3 weeks in ICU, God spoke to me. He says, you're no longer going to be a builder. Well, that stinks, God. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with me? I'm not going to tell you. Would you want to do my will? I go, sure. I started pastoring a couple years later, went back to school, found myself in Fort Myers. Would I have said yes if God would have laid that out for me in advance? No. If God would have said in the burning bush, Moses, could you stop for a second? I would like you to go back where you killed that guy and take 5 million people out and be in the desert for 40 years. How does that sound? Your will be done, God. God's looking for you to say, I will. Then he will anoint you to go do the anointing. I had no idea that I'd be in Fort Myers for 13 years, that I would leave my family, that I would do all that. No idea. God prepares you and trains you. He offers. And then I get a call that says, do you want to come back to this area? See, Moses went back to where he understood the people, to where he understood what was happening. There is an anointing on you today. The second you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, there's an anointing on you. Whether you want to walk in it or not, that's up to you. I want to walk in my anointing. I want to walk where God has called me to be. If you're going to college, well, I'll have to wait till college is over. No, right where you're at, you can walk in an anointing at college. In high school, you can walk in an anointing. Why? Because wherever the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours for the kingdom of God. You walk in that high school classroom. I don't have to get involved in all that stuff. I don't have to do that. God, I'm here to give an anointing. I'm here to spread the anointing that once you came on me, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me today, and I can speak to these kids all the way around. I don't care if I'm 15, 12, 10. It doesn't matter how old you are. An anointing is on you to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now, I'm spending 70 hours a week on my business. I just haven't. Maybe you're in the wrong business. Well, I don't know about that. My dad did this business and his dad did this business. Ask God, what are you supposed to do? I'm not trying to get anybody to quit here today. I'm not trying anybody any chance. I'm saying, are you open to God's trying to get your attention right now? He's got a burning bush right now. I know there's people right now thinking about, you know, there is something that God's always been telling me to do and I just never did it. Because I knew what it's going to take, I know what it's going to cost, I know my time, and I know my schedule right now, and I just can't make it work. God will figure out the logistics of whatever you're going to do. Don't tell God what you can't do, because with him, all things are possible. Next week, we're going to continue this, and it's going to, you're going to get pumped up, because right now you seem like, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You know why it's okay? Because you're anointed. Did you know there's a cloak on you that's going to protect you? You should be jumping up and down right now. There's an anointing on you. There's an anointing. Annie, there's an anointing on you. I don't care about your past. God doesn't care about your past. I don't care about your past because I don't know about your past. I just met you 8 weeks ago. How great is that? There's an anointing on you. I can see it. There's an anointing on you. And wherever you go to work, that's great. But if God calls you someplace else, what if you get fired today? Well, I don't care if I get fired tomorrow. Why? Because God's got another place for you. Because it's not about the job. It's about an anointing. Because he says, Annie, it's up. You did the best you could. Thank you very much. Now, off to another job. Woo! You don't have to sit there and go, well, how am I going to pay my bills? I'll provide everywhere that I send you. I'll take care of you. Do you know that God provides? I don't know about that. Well, if you go back in Moses, food fell from the sky. How cool is that? God, I'm making $3 an hour. How am I going to make it? I don't know. Maybe food will fall from the sky. That's impossible. That'll never happen. Do you guys see the Red Sea part? Did anyone see the Red Sea part? Anybody? Do you believe it happened? Well, I believe manna fell from the sky. I believe that there was a fire at night and it guided them, and I believe there was clouds that protected them during the day. I believe that God is for you, and I believe he's not against you. I believe wherever he calls you, he will provide for you. I stop trying to figure out how you're going to do it and just say, I will, and he will do the work. Amen? I'm going to stand this morning.